my correct, Mr. Lank, that Dave did not?
I wasn't involved.
Pardon me?
I wasn't involved in this ordinance.
Okay. But it was submitted to the Public Service Commission, they said they didn't have a problem with it.
Right.
This is an area to establish an approval process whereby private community wastewater systems that would exist in the primary and secondary service areas designated by Sussex County would have to be approved by the county. In other words, we could install the systems, and we're not in a position where we could serve the area, then there's a permitting process where we would give the Tidewaters and Artesians of the world the right to do it, subject to a license.
Right. Can I ask Mr. Ashmack there, what the engineering department's position was, is there, do you all have a position on this ordinance?
Yeah, we're kind of supportive of the ordinance, it kind of gives us a way to plan for the future, lets us know the way.
It stops the turf war, George.
All right, just, he's back there, and he's been waiting a long day, I wanted to make sure he got on the record.
Engineering always says that.
Let me ask this question.
It stops the turf war in those areas that the county is actually designated that they're gonna serve.
Now, if the county decides, this body decides that they want to put an RFP out, as we discussed this morning, for a public-private partnership in these areas, we still have the ability to do that in these areas, don't we?
Well, what Mr. Izzo said at the hearing on this ordinance was that if this is not, if it's an area they can't serve, then they're gonna give the, approve an application of a private provider.
No, I'm not saying that the private provider would go off and work through, you know, a separate entity, but if we wanted to do an RFP where we control who gets to put it in there based on cost and other factors, can we still do that in this area, or does this create that?
I don't think this.
That monopoly that I'm concerned about, which is causing our cost to skyrocket.
Let me look at it real quick.
We're seeing many people, Vance, concerned about the cost of the private sector's cost going up, where the county's been very, we go, come in and we're pretty stable on our costs. We've seen major increases in some of the private ones, and we've had some complaints there.
We don't want to limit our options, though.
No, I don't think this does.
It could, that's why it's looking.
Let's see.
Give him a second.
Says applicant seeking to obtain approval of Sussex County to construct a private community wastewater system within primary or secondary service area would file an application with the county engineer and submit certain information. And it does say a private, in general, a private community wastewater system shall not be constructed within a primary or secondary service area by any non-governmental owner or entity without prior approval of the county. It doesn't exclude that, it just says they have to, county has to approve it.
Okay, so we could do RFPs within these zones.
I can read it.
If we felt that it could be a way to save the users with the district money.
I would, it does not prohibit that.
Okay.
It just brings it to the attention of engineering first.
It's just a point I wanted on record.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Puts us in the ballgame, right?
The reason for this was that the county wanted the ability in these areas that it had designated as primary or secondary areas to at least do the planning studies, and without ten more applications piling on and sort of cutting the legs out from under what the county was trying to do.
Unfortunately, the county has been very slow in the process on some of these, and it's basically put our consumers at a disadvantage.
We respond to petitions. We don't go out aggressively pushing.
Every wastewater treatment plant has to be, go through our engineering department.
And it also, Mr. Phillips.
But I'm just saying, we don't aggressively go out to people and tell them. No, he's talking about something else, that we're slow.
He's saying that the review process for us could take months.
It also, another thing that might address your concern, on page 5, number E, it says if mutually agreed, that means for the county and the private company, the system will be constructed in such a manner that it may be connected to a county sewer system.
Right.
When that becomes available in the area.
Right.
So the private.
But it doesn't lock us into that path.
No.
Okay.
And both parties would have to agree to that.
I got just a couple things. The primary service area, it says that the department should meet the definition. Should we put in there that it should be upgraded on a yearly basis? Or is that, you know, added into that, so that, you know, that everybody knows the game plan?
Well, that's not part of the ordinance. I think you'd need to come back if you were gonna do that, because we'd be sitting here crafting things and trying to figure out whether it went beyond what we had in the ordinance.
Okay, that's cool. Page 3, 2, it says the fee will be determined by Sussex County Council.
In other words, we'd have to amend chapter 62 to do that, wouldn't we?
That's what's in there now. I wanna take it out. There's no way we got good enough sense to make it, even, you know, there's, you know.
The what?
Speak for yourself.
We need not charge a fee for that.
A fee for what?
Did you read the ordinance, sir?
No, wait, just tell me what you're talking about. I'm not familiar with that.
I don't think you should take that out.
You don't think so?
No.
No, because there could be a time when we wanna amend chapter 62 to provide the fees. Because chapter 62 is where we levy all of our fees for all county services. It's not creating one, it's just it's telling you what the cross-reference is.
Yeah, I don't know, yeah, that's what you got me confused on.
That's the way we do it.
I may do it, no, we're.
It's the way we do business.
Okay, I'm just bringing them up. Anybody wants to jump in, knock the socks off? Okay, let's see if we're done. Does this ordinance make it so that when John, you know, Artesian, Tidewater, whoever, and they're in the 5 year, that we say, no, you're not in the 5 year marker, you can go knock your socks off? Do they still have to come in front of us?
Yeah.
If they're in a primary or secondary service area of the county, but.
But if they're not within what our land use map says, then they don't have to get their plans reviewed by our engineering department.
No, and at the hearing, the statement was made that there's a lot of land out there that's not in our designated areas.
By policy, but right now they do.
That goes to Dover.
That's as by a separate ordinance, as I understand.
Big part.
I think there's a separate provision in the ordinance, in the existing ordinance regarding plan review by the engineering department.
Okay.
What I was told.
As long as, you know, okay. Because I think if they're, is there, and the only other thing I have that I saw in one of the comments we got back is that it says, do we have a turnaround time for our side too? Did if they bring their application in, all the current information, they're waiting 45 days, there's no, we have, you know, we put something on them to be completed. Is there anything here that says that we have to be done in so many days? Not that I know. If you look at page 4, I don't see anything that our engineering department should be able to, we should be accountable as if we're making them accountable.
Right, so we would have, the county engineer would have to respond within 45 days.
I don't, you know.
The working days are calendar days.
Oh, it says 45 days after the complete application is received by.
Okay, so that means that.
You've got 45 days or so?
So that they have fed that, that does mean that they have to turn around 45 days.
Mr. Izzo said they could do that, but he said they probably would need that much time.
Okay. I mean, that's fine with me, as long as we got a drop date, okay. Okay. That was all the questions I had. Anybody else got any questions?
Good title, let's go.
Could you please read the title, please, Jim?
An ordinance to amend chapter 110 of the Code of Sussex County by adding a new part 7 relating to an approval process for private community wastewater systems in Sussex County primary service areas and secondary service areas.
Motion, gentlemen?
I'll make the motion.
Thank you. Second?
Second.
Moving to second, that we approve the ordinance as read. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes, I think the safeguards are there that we can be flexible in allowing a competitive bid process on some of the projects that may come up before us in the zone that aren't necessarily done by the county.
Okay, Mr. Dukes?
I vote yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
My vote is yes also.
Get something done here now, buddy.
If we're not done by 5:00, I make a motion Dale Dukes buys us all dinner.
We'll do it. I still got it.
We still got Stegel's number. Come on.
Yep.
You, you, We're not stopping until the dust settles, boys.
No, no, we gotta eat.
You can eat afterward. Okay.
We're almost there.
Y'all were 50 something once today. That's all we're allowed. Right, Susie? Where's Susie?
She had a ball game.
One sandwich per customer.
I've already lost my bet, so it don't matter.
What's next?
Okay, read it.
The next one's one to provide criteria for determining whether a preliminary cluster subdivision provides for a total environment and design which is superior to that which would be allowed under the regulation for standard subdivision option. And this came about because there was a request, I believe, to more clearly define what criteria the commission should be looking at in determining whether something is a superior, a design that's superior to the standard subdivision option.
It's also part of comprehensive plan. It's one of the 23 line items that we need to address.
Yeah, it's also, right.
Just for the record, the Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this ordinance amendment. The commission went through the process, heard testimony from the representative of Center for Inland Bays, Gary Couples, and others. Mr. Burton stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of the ordinance amendment to amend Chapter 115, Section 115-25, based upon the record and subject to the following recommendations. One, the Sussex County Council consider the information provided by the commission during its public hearing. Two, that the word setback in 115-25F3A4 on page 3 of the proposed ordinance amendment be changed to the word buffer. That on line 9 of 115-25F3A4 on page 3, the word council should be changed to the word commission. Four, in 115-25F3A2 regarding yield plans should state that the yield plan must be designed based on the same sewer infrastructure as the proposed cluster subdivision so that lot sizes are comparable. To accomplish this, two, capital A should state, in quotes, the yield plan shall be completed to scale based upon the same sewer infrastructure as a proposed cluster subdivision and shall show potential lot streets and stormwater management facilities.
That's right.
And five, in 115-25F3A3B on page 2, the final sentence should be replaced with, and in quotes, accordingly, at least 40% of all required open space shall be located on one centralized location within the project. There was a motion, second, and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the ordinance amendment be approved for the reasons and with the recommendation stated. A motion carried 4-0.
All right.
Gentlemen, I don't think Mr. Griffin, you weren't here last when we had this hearing. I think Mr. Burrell was here. And we listened to the testimony from Kevin Burdett, CIB, and whomever. Mr. Jones and I took it upon ourselves Saturday to go back through the ordinance and make the changes in there that we heard at the public hearing. And what you've got in front of you is a clean copy as far as Mr. Jones and I are concerned. Now, I know that you've not had it before now. And whether you want to vote on it today or not, that's up to you. I am prepared to vote on it because I've made the changes in it. But however, I think the changes are just what you heard before. If you want to go through, I can tell you the changes, or if you want to read it yourself and defer action on it and keep it for a later date, that's entirely up to you. But I think all the changes are what we heard the other day, and we went right down Kevin's and CIB's, and that's how we came up with this.
Well, let's let me try to find some of these changes. Now, you included planning and zoning, couple changes we just heard. Are they in here?
I was not able to follow Mr. Lank on all of his sections.
You want to just go through them one at a time?
Sure. Well, we're going to do some, I mean, I don't know. Is this something everybody wants to do something on tonight?
Let's see. You want to make a motion to defer?
I'll make a motion to defer.
I'll second.
And we'll combine these two, because Dale, I think that planning and zoning makes some recommendations. I've got the one, the red highlights, and I'm not...
I don't have a problem deferring. I mean, I think right. we ought to go through it and... Listen to the changes, and if you like them, fine. If you don't, fine.
This would probably be the last opportunity for you gentlemen who proposed these changes to sort of tell us what you had in mind. I mean, we can read what you put on paper, but...
I got a motion on the floor, so I'll deal with it, and then...
What's the motion? I can rescind that, because if we don't vote on it today, Jim, they can't listen to the tape or anything like that, can they?
It'd be up to the next council.
We have to hold another public hearing.
Do we have to start over with another public hearing, or can government move on?
Can I go through these changes and they're? I don't know. It'll take me just a very few minutes.
Go ahead.
Okay. If you look,
we have a motion that needs.
I'll rescind my motion right now.
I'll rescind.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah, we'll go.
We'll
give them a shot.
First page, section 115.25(f)(3)(a), which are superior and. I think it said, in reasonable judgment of the Planning Commission. We removed that, which it just now says superior or that which would be allowed under the regulations for the standard option. And down in number one, where it says homes shall be clustered on the most, we took the most out.
Took out the word most.
Took the most out and just clustered on environmentally suitable portions of the tract.
You're stopping after tract?
At the track, specifically those portions of the track least encumbered by sensitive environmental features. And then Kevin's suggestion was mature bodies. Mr. Jones did not know what floodplain areas, so we took out the word floodplain areas also out of there.
How about the groundwater recharge areas? That was suggested. In other words, Dale, you're talking about homes should be clustered on the suitable portions of the tract.
Right.
Wouldn't a groundwater recharge area be an area that we would want to avoid?
I think, wouldn't it be covered by sensitive environmental features, including unlimited wetlands, mature woodlands?
He didn't stop after tract, George.
Huh?
He didn't stop after the word tract. He said he just took out most on the first page.
Suitable portions of the tract, specifically those portions of the tract least encumbered by sensitive environmental features, including but not limited to wetlands, mature woodlands, waterways, and other water bodies. This does not inhibit the development of wooded parcels.
Since it already includes woodlands, do you need to add does not inhibit development of wooded parcels? You're just saying that they would be least encumbered by mature woodlands.
Right, we can strike that last sentence.
What section you want? Well, I don't know if you want to strike it. I mean, it sends that very clear message to planning and zoning that they aren't to unilaterally start deleting parts of a project because they're wooded. I mean, I like to be clear.
Okay, number two, it talks about the wording was... Actually, the yield plan that actually shows, Kevin thought it read better to say conceptually depicts maximum number of dwelling units on the same track under current applicable conventional non-cluster development regulations.
Do you want to comment on that?
Where again are you now?
Number two. Mr. Lank, what difference would that make, conceptually depicts versus accurately shows?
Oh, yeah, sure. So,
does this mean they give you a less detailed... plan?
Yeah, it would be a concept instead of a detailed drawing.
This is
okay. Sam.
So they wouldn't have to have everything that's
a clean
preliminary subdivision application requires.
Let me see if I've got one
it's
for Mike.
It appears because it's a concept.
Are they saying the same thing?
So this would require less than you now require them.
Sam.
It would.
Could you get Mike Johnson, please?
This would allow the applicant or developer to submit a concept which does not have all of everything you require for a preliminary subdivision application.
Could be. It's more of a conceptual drawing would be more of a sketch.
Unless you define conceptual, you'll get whatever they want to give you.
Yeah, it could be difficult.
Yeah.
What, Lawrence, what don't you like about
Dale's version?
Well, we've had preliminary.
Or do you like the
preliminary site plan that the commission has granted conceptual approval on, so that we can get the revised preliminary to show us more specifically those requirements the commission imposed. So concept would be you're disapproving it based on its content. You've got to bring us back another revised drawing to meet all the requirements that the commission imposed.
So the concept's a step down from what's required.
Step down from what a preliminary.
So you're going to build another layer.
Bring it back in.
This is another step. So Dale, that's not your intent, was it, to bring in another step to the whole process?
No.
So let me ask Lawrence. And Lawrence, the way it was written in our original format, you like that better? Where the applicant must submit a yield plan that accurately shows the maximum number of dwelling units possible in the same tract.
Commission would like it better.
Commission would like it. Okay. Any problem with leaving it the way it is?
Number two, Lawrence. That's number two.
The first
two and 2A.
2 and 2A change of both to actual.
Whatever it said originally, I think Lawrence is recommending.
Well, originally it said that accurately shows the maximum number of dwelling units possible. And then A, B, and C continues.
So the original you prefer?
Commission would prefer to accurately.
A for 2A?
2 and 2A.
2 and 2A. 2 is the first line.
Okay.
Can we delete the words conventional and non so that it does reflect the cluster development regulations rather than the conventional? The cluster is very clear. It's 1.5 outside our growth zones. And by doing that, it makes very clear what the yield is going in. If you put in conventional non-cluster, then you're going to be putting all kinds of factors into the equation that is going to cut the density tremendously.
Well, conventional non-cluster two scenarios.
That's a standard.
I know it's a standard, but I'm talking, we want the cluster development to be the foundation of any density calculation. And that's why we put it in. We've already cut it from 2 units to 8 per acre down to 1.5 units per acre.
So you're saying?
By leaving conventional non-cluster as...
You can't leave. I'll make a motion to go to dinner.
As the criteria, you're going to end up going down. I would be surprised some of them will be less than 1 acre, one unit per acre when you take into dinner. Account all these things are going to be deleted.
So you're saying the current applicable...
Cluster development regulations.
Does that make sense, Lawrence?
Well, if you want a higher density, right? Vance is always trying to get more density. So if that's your goal, yes, Dale, you can change it. If you want to go with our standard, what we've used forever.
This ordinance shouldn't subdivision be about ordinance. Reducing density. I mean, this isn't a
It's not reducing it.
Well, it is.
What's permitted is the conventional.
Asking them to show two scenarios.
Right.
Like, no, it's
is your concern that if they see what they can get under conventional, that is much that's all they'll get?
Right now, we have a predictable formula. Two units in a cluster in a development district, 1.5 outside of the development district. By going down this yield plan route, we're going to be taking in a whole bunch of other factors that currently aren't in our regulations as a factor in those cluster developments to reduce the density. This is all about greater restrictions that reduce density. And as I say, we've already reduced it in the past from the 2 units it started with down to 1.5. This, you know, this is another step of more regulations to cut density. And this ordinance wasn't sold to me as that. It was more about superior design, not reducing density. Now, if you guys want to reduce density, this is a warm and fuzzy way of doing it.
Warm and fuzzy?
No, it's density neutral.
No, it's not
reducing. I thought superior design would give you additional bonus density. And I think it's what you're saying, Mr.
This Cole. Yield plan provides the mechanism to reduce density from our current cluster ordinance. Am I right, Lawrence?
Well, then that's not a superior plan, then, is it?
I don't think it tells the commission to do that, though.
Thank you.
Okay,
so we could just strike the yield plan? Is that the way to go?
No, strike conventional and non. Know what you said?
Well, that's certainly a step in the right direction. Lawrence, as you understand A, B, and C, do they even become necessary once you strike conventional and non?
If you strike conventional, the yield plan doesn't really give you anything but a preliminary.
It gives you the 1.5.
It gives you whatever the applicant submits, right?
Right. Yeah, that is the foundational density.
The intent of the yield plan was for the commission to see what
Okay.
the parcel would get as a yield in a standard subdivision versus a cluster subdivision.
A move to further restrict the density.
And that's what the council requested at the time of the introduction of the ordinance.
I'm not sure they understood that was the intent. Well, this was more about superior design than reduction of density.
Couldn't you address it by some language to the effect that the yield plan depicting both scenarios would not be used as a means to reduce density beyond what is currently allowed in the cluster ordinance?
Why would you even go there if you weren't trying to set up a opportunity to appeal the decision of P&Z by either the applicant or the opposition?
Okay, let's move on down, because I don't see this thing getting voted on today, so you guys can have fun with it after we're gone. The yield plan also depicts all wetlands, wooded areas, waterways, and other bodies, period. Striking and floodplains and all the other garbage in there. Moving on down to required open space shall comply with the following criteria. B. Required open space must be designed to be beneficial to the residents of, or users of the open space. It should not be constituted of fragmented lands with little open space value. Accordingly, 30% of all required open space shall be located on one contiguous tract of land, except that such open space may be separated by water bodies in a maximum of one street. So we've changed it from 40 to 30%. That was the change. And down in C, we changed that from 40 to 30. Kevin wanted 20, but we thought we should be consistent. Existing farmland, where is that? Yeah, we added existing farmland and or woodlands. And then we added four. If more than one of these physical features exist on adjacent properties, then one of these features will be identified and utilized to satisfy this requirement. Jumping on down to number four. A minimum of 25 feet permanent setback must be maintained around the outer boundaries. And we struck the word and recreational ponds of all wetlands except for tidal waters, tidal tributary streams, tidal wetlands. That was all on that one. And then in the number five, stormwater management shall be designed to promote groundwater and recharge to protect groundwater quality. And we down there we said after drainage for rooftops shall be directed to vegetated areas or allow green technology. And you know where the green technology came
mm-hmm.
from.
Yeah, we do.
We put Mr. Jones in parentheses there. Stormwater detention. Stormwater detention and retention facilities shall be designed to resemble natural ponds as referenced by DENREC in the National Resource Conservation Service's Pond Code 378 Visual Resource Design. And then there was something there about removal of healthy mature trees, and there was in there, I think, to the greatest extent possible. We just said should be mature trees should be limited. There was a word in there on the top on number seven. It said highly scenic views. We just took highly out of there and just put scenic views. Scenic views that can be seen from within the tract should be preserved to the greatest extent possible. And then when you get on down to 8A, 8A, it was identified lands that should be preserved. And we took out the word first areas most worthy. We took out most out of there, took out that, and we struck the word floodplains again out of there and put natural drainage areas.
But would read other water bodies and natural drainage areas?
Yes, sir. And other features that are important should be mapped, such as tree lines, scenic views, historic buildings, prime farmland.
Floodplains are mapped.
And I think the rest of it's okay. We changed that, we changed B to, from locate home sites to identify developable areas. And next, the most appropriate locations for development should be chosen to minimize the impact to the most important features mapped in the first step. Locate roads and trails. CIB, they wanted a sentence added that a trail should, that links homes to destinations outside the track should be designed. No, I'm sorry, that's not it. There's one in there about trails should be
pervious.
Pervious, yeah.
That's back on the prior page.
Prior page, excuse me. Locate lot lines. The last is to configure lot lines and make necessary adjustments to satisfy various reviewing agencies. And sidewalks shall be required on one side of each street. We took out the word least because that could, you don't never know if that means one or two. And we took out the word, no, we didn't, should be subject to planning and zoning commission approval. So they might have a subdivision where they don't even want sidewalks on one side. They could strike that. That's our version of what we heard at the public hearing. And I don't know what the attitudes are. If you want to vote on it, fine. If you don't, then we'll leave it for you good gentlemen to do at a later date. And I know I apologize for not getting it to you, but it's been a busy weekend. Leave it at that.
That computer aided.
Now, Dale, we're going back to where you changed on yours, and then Lawrence said that number two on your page two.
Number page number
we're talking
two,
about
two
the yield plan again.
Uh-huh.
We like, or based on our staff here, Lawrence, he likes the way it's written in the original word. The word accurately
shows
is in there.
I don't have any problem with that.
So we need to, so planning and zoning can actually do those things, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But the question, I think, is whether you're going to leave any of number two in.
If it is the intent to reduce density, then I would suggest you councilman vote to
well,
keep
that,
it in.
That's not, shouldn't be the intent of a super design plan.
Well, that's what it does.
Could you
it
just...
Does.
Then you shouldn't be in there.
Okay.
Well, this is countywide.
Just say that there shall not be used the yield plan. The purpose of the yield plan is not to reduce density.
Yield plan. The yield plan, the title suggests that it's all about the yield, which is density, which by these criteria will be reduced. So you've got a great conflict there. If on one hand, you're putting a yield plan in the ordinance, which reduces density, and you're putting a little asterisk that says it's not to be used to reduce density.
What do they do now, Lawrence, on a cluster?
1.5.
But, I mean, do they give you a yield plan, or can P&Z require
do we get them
a
now?
Yeah.
Only at the voluntarily by some applicants, very seldom. Just one or two times we've had somebody actually submit. And they probably did that because they could show that they had almost the same number.
Now, under the cluster, Lawrence, we are now getting 1.5 units per acre.
Right.
Outside the development district. Is that correct?
Right, outside.
In level four areas.
Outside the development district.
Yeah, we don't have level four.
Okay, outside the development district.
Correct.
In rural Sussex County, out in the middle of nowhere, you can take a piece of ground and get 1.5 units to the acre. That has been what fills the room here with people that live in these rural areas, and they see a farm get converted. And 1.5 units per acre is extremely high density in an agricultural district.
That's a half a house less than what we were allowed.
That is a reduction of what we have. I mean, you're not going to be happy until it's one per 10 units or 10 acres or whatever.
I think that's for the future council to argue out. I think it's not high density myself.
That's not the issue here, George.
No. All right. But that's for another day.
But I just think that
another day.
The old subdivision, what is permitted, what is guaranteed by right is a subdivision. Subdivision is two units to the acre. Right.
Maybe we should change this to say we were allowed two
units per acre. But how about in the environmentally sensitive developing district? Is this something that's, this is a countywide?
Right.
Countywide.
It's a superior design.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
That's your problem, isn't why should anything you plan should be done, right?
So okay, let's then focus in. What are we doing? What are we cutting out so we can move this along then?
Section two, for starters.
All of it?
Yeah. If we're gonna agree that we have a 1.5 density based on our current code, well then number two is.
Hey, that's the Sandy Burnouts, right?
Let's see where it goes, change it, make a motion.
If you pay.
Let's see where it goes, if it doesn't come off center, if it doesn't move now.
Are we making a motion on all your changes?
They work.
No, I just think if they took.
What, you wanna do your review?
Well, we gotta get one document started, so we either gotta start with.
Dave's got a question here.
Yeah, we're working off of our, the clean copy that we'll say, for lack of better words.
Why don't we take yours and modify it with a.
Well, I think.
Yield plan here, what we're talking about.
It seems the yield plan, Mr. Phillips has a problem with, so therefore, he wants to.
Well, let's find a consensus. Is there consensus on what's on the yield plan, or leave it the way it is?
I move we delete the yield plan from this ordinance, since it is not about superior design, but rather about reducing the density of application.
Okay, is there a second?
I would like to ask Mr. Lank a question.
Okay.
Do you, putting you on the spot, do you agree by leaving the yield plan in there that is reducing the density?
That's what some of the developers think.
What do you think? What would you say?
You need to be, might need to be a little bit, add a sentence in there where that's in, not the intent to reduce the density, it's only the intent to show what the potential is on a standard subdivision versus a cluster.
And when they come into.
Somebody get the argument.
When they come into the commission.
They'll get the same argument.
And Mr. Johnson asks them, you know, what's superior about this subdivision?
Right.
Well, we've done this, this, and this. Okay, we're gonna give you a little more bonus density here. So what incentive is, what's their incentive to come in and do a superior design and get their density cut?
Well, typically they're gonna show in their, that they can get more open surveys, they're providing poor amenities, they're providing for less infrastructure on their self-serve, less cost for them because they're going.
Saves money for them to do that, that's why they'll go to it, Dale.
That's versus a cluster.
Cost of developing cluster is cheaper. And it has more benefits because of the way they can lay them out and the creativity, so I
understand.
I think
that.
By adding a sentence, we can probably solve everybody's problem.
All right. What's the sentence?
Put him on the spot again.
Let me try.
Mr. Baker got
swear. Wait, he's putting together a.
Mr. Baker had a question. He wanted.
If we took out in 2C where the second sentence there, if that came out.
The entire second sentence?
Yeah.
What, the applicant shall comply?
Well, leave that part in, but then when it says, in addition, the maximum number of dwelling units allowed shall not be greater than maximum number determined, and so on.
Take all that language out. So it would stop after the first two, 1.5 lines.
Right. Whereabouts are you, Mr.
C,
Baker?
2C, Dale.
2C.
Page 2.
Okay.
2C. We're still in the yield plan.
Oh, okay. Taking that in addition.
He's taking out everything after as applicable. On the second line.
Can I ask about the fee that it references? I have to admit that's the first time I saw a reference to proffering a fee.
That's provided
under
our
density bonus fee, I think.
It is.
Yeah.
They give you what you want, Mr. Phillips?
Well, I think this maybe adding his sentence might do it easy too. I don't know.
Well, that's Vance's point, I believe, is I wasn't reading that. I was trying to read in that first paragraph.
So this
it basically says the maximum number of dwelling units allowed on a cluster development tract shall not be greater than the maximum number of dwelling units determined to be possible under the yield plan.
So that.
And I think it's quite
answers
clear.
His question.
I think it's quite clear in the very next paragraph. It says the yield plan shall not have any legal standing except for the purposes of determining maximum density allowed under a cluster development. That right there tells me that this entire yield plan is designed to provide legal standing for planning and zoning to cut density from what is currently provided by right in our cluster.
If you took out that sub one, would that help?
Again, if you're going to take that out, which is the right thing to do, what is the purpose of the yield plan if not to provide some type of justification for the reduction of density?
Why don't you just add that, that the yield plan will not be used as any justification for cutting density?
What is the purpose, if it's not to show what the reduced density is?
Well, why do you need the yield plan, Lawrence?
Why do you need it?
Yeah.
Sure.
It was suggested by council in the preparation of the ordinance.
In order.
Commission liked it.
That was another day.
In order to reduce density.
Well, they said.
You think this council did that?
Excuse me?
You're, read number one, the yield plan shall not have any legal standing except for the purpose of determining maximum density. Just what you've been saying.
Just what I've been saying. Now, we could make this voluntary, and we could say anybody who wants to employ this ordinance can have expedited review. You know, there's something, there's a carrot.
We've got two, all the county government's been expedited.
No, it's not, absolutely not. He said 5%.
Of what?
We can make this voluntary, we could put it out there to the developers and say, here's something that if you'll follow these superior design elements voluntarily, you can have expedited review. They can still come in under the current cluster ordinance, which guarantees them 1.5 units. But if they want to go down this path voluntarily, you know, even I might support it. But otherwise, it's not.
If they chose to go down that path voluntarily, would you leave the yield plan language in?
Yeah, I would think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Expedite them, give them, yeah, make sure they get greater density, let's go on. It sounds like everything he's ever dreamed about.
All right.
I don't see where it says extra density, if you can show me that.
You just told us that the way it's.
Put that right, let's see what it sounds like.
Now, there are some other elements here which we should talk about. Are we getting tired?
No.
Oh.
Oh, we're wide awake.
I'm good. Sun hadn't come up yet.
Take your time.
That's right.
Is there an interest in tightening up the language to try to take out some of the pure judgment calls, like on 3B? Required open space must be designed to be beneficial to the residents or users of the open space. You know, we just passed an open space ordinance. I would almost think that you've got that issue off the table to now put this subjective language in here that talks about, you know, well, it must be beneficial to the residents or users. One group might find benefit in it, where the other, who doesn't want anything, might not.
It must meet the official definition of the subject open space committee, section 115.4. Where are you reading, Vance?
Three B.
Oh, okay. I was just going.
I don't have any problem with it. I like the way it's written.
And George following along.
Thank you, Mr. Cole.
Something wrong, if he likes it.
Thank you, Mr. Cole. That just ensured it.
All right, no, that's all right. Just do whatever it is you want to do.
I want you to disagree with everything I say.
I think that sounds good. I don't have a problem with that. It, you know,
where it reads?
Yeah, should be beneficial to the residents or the users of the open space. I mean, why are you creating open space to be
not beneficial?
Beneficial to somebody outside of the subdivision.
Oh, I see. You're saying it's
to the user.
How is the stormwater management pond, is that considered beneficial?
Keeps water away from my house.
Okay.
Keeps the tide down.
Yeah, keeps water down.
So any benefit that could be demonstrated would allow it to be considered. But why are we talking in this ordinance about a definition of open space when we just pass an ordinance? Mr. Griffin, am I overanalyzing this?
Well, I'm just trying to work on some wording here on that prior thing you threw at us. What was that again?
When we start referencing how the open space should be designed here, do we open ourselves up to conflict to the ordinance we just passed? I mean, haven't we kind of gotten that issue off the table? Maybe since we didn't have a definition at the time this was drafted, they felt compelled to put it in here with language like that it had to be designed to benefit the president.
I don't see that this would hurt to have it in there to say that it would be located so as to be beneficial.
Yep.
It seemed like to me that the open space makes it a part of a superior design. And this is part of the criteria to make that superior design.
Well, I guess, again, if we hadn't just passed an open space ordinance, I could see the use for it.
Well, when I first read it, I thought, well, we shouldn't be duplicating, but I don't think it really is.
Anything else, Mr. Phillips?
Yeah, I mean, sir.
Okay. No problem. We got it.
gentlemen, I didn't think it'd be this easy, but Ben, you're also willing and.
Well, I think on a voluntary basis, as Vance said, and it will give them some time, again, just like a super green, to look at, okay, maybe it's good, maybe it's bad, you know, maybe some things need to be tweaked.
Wait, the providing a superior design now is voluntary?
That's what.
Talking about the yield plan.
The yield plan, I don't know.
No, we're talking about superior design.
The whole ordinance.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has to be voluntarily, can't make it mandatory, everybody's got to come in with a superior design plan.
The intent of this whole thing was voluntary from day one?
No.
I don't think so.
The scenic views.
I mean, that's where I'm confused, I thought we were trying to improve on things, and now it's voluntary.
The definition of a scenic view.
That's right. Oh my God, guys, step up, these baby steps are killing me.
What's a scenic view, I don't know.
Well, here in section 7, it says that the scenic views that can be seen from within the tract should be preserved to the great extent possible.
I'm sure a designer will stand here and telling us and pointing at the site plan and they say, and we laid it out this way because we wanted to preserve this area here because it had a scenic thing, and we'll all probably agree.
It could be a pond or something on the site.
Yeah.
Right. It says they should be preserved. So does that mean anybody that comes in here in opposition to an application who says this area where they're building their houses is a beautiful view, it's a scenic view, it should not be. This whole site is nothing but one giant scenic view. I mean, it says here it should be preserved. So in essence, aren't we just basically leaving that up to a suggestion?
It says to the greatest extent possible, though.
Okay.
I think reasonable people will come to a reasonable conclusion on these kind of things.
We've overturned a lot of decisions lately on the basis of unreasonableness.
Have you come to a sentence there yet, Mr. Griffin?
I think I could probably.
There's a little baby there looking at you.
Go back to page 1.
Granddaughter.
Is that your granddaughter?
Hello, egg.
Egg.
What are you working on, sir?
Go back to page 1. Dale asked me if I'd come up with anything that would be a qualifier that said that this would apply to situations where a person voluntarily chose to go with the superior design criteria.
All right.
I'm going to make a motion.
I haven't quite completed it, but you could do something like this. And number 3, where it says the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission shall determine that the following requirements are met before approving any cluster development. In place of that, you could say, in respect to any cluster subdivision application submitted after the date of this amendment, and where the applicant voluntarily elects to comply with the provisions of this amendment implementing superior design criteria, the commission shall determine that the following requirements are met before approving said cluster development application.
Okay, talk to me about the expedited review.
And in return, therefore, for such election, said application would be entitled or would qualify for expedited review.
And the decision is made at the point of application by the developer to Lawrence whether he's going to go with a conventional non-cluster, a cluster, or a cluster superior design. Is that the way the process would work under that sentence?
Well, it's getting more simple here, aren't we?
It's a good thing.
Is it a good thing?
Well, what you'd be doing would be creating an alternative provision within the cluster where if somebody elected to utilize the superior design criteria, if you added that qualifier, that they would then get expedited review, and those that came in with that information and the yield plan and everything that this requires would go along that route.
I mean, that, gentlemen, I don't like regulation. I don't like big government. But if you're going to go down a path like this, there's a great opportunity to make it voluntary, just like we made the cluster ordinance voluntary. They could still do a regular conventional non-cluster, and they still do some.
What's the incentive if they just go to what we have now, the cluster? What are those incentives?
Maybe they'll get a little bit more yield. I think you'll find that
they got 3 choices now. What? Okay, the one is the subdivision, just a standard subdivision.
This is a pain in the butt. So that little bit of expedited review.
So what, to go to the cluster, they just maybe get a little additional density. To go to the superior design, then they get expedited.
Right.
And we get a few more things. What are we getting out of it?
All this.
All this.
All this.
Do you like it? You like it? It's voluntary. Does anyone vote on it or not?
I was under the intention that we ought to make this not voluntary. I was in my like only I haven't. You got me now. You got me confused.
Can you, how can you make it mandatory on that? Then, really?
Oh, well, gun to their
it's got to be voluntary.
It has to be voluntary.
I think the wasn't the original intent to
well,
make it just
the
an our county
request was to give the commission some standards that they could use to better draw a bright line between your standard and your superior and determine with better informed standards what was truly superior.
So this, we were going to try to give P&Z Commission the ability to do some of these things, but if we make it voluntary, they don't have that, they're back on the receiving
it's
end.
It's voluntary not, by the developer.
Right, we're not, they're not helping to make development better, planning and zoning it, and they're going to basically...
It's going to ease the development community into this ordinance, and there's nothing wrong with taking
a site plan review
approach to greater regulations. And we may find that this is completely unworkable.
Right.
And this gives us an opportunity to allow the development community to try it out. Now, if after a year we see that this is just the greatest thing since sliced bread, the new council can consider making it all mandatory.
It sounds like me that you both are agreeing that you think it's a good thing. We need to vote on it.
Okay.
Well, I'm just
I just still haven't figured out voluntary.
Do you need me to make a motion?
Yes,
you
make
that,
it.
Mr.
You make it. You got to read the title. Read the title first.
Okay, can you give me just one
minute
to work out
the
language here?
We can do Susie. Are you taking over for Susie?
Yes.
Wait a minute, I got to get my calculator out. I won't be on the naughty list.
You got this one.
And don't you dare put in for overtime, Jones.
Hey, Finley.
Yes.
You forgot Lacrosse Homes.
Oh, well, we would need Jim. We would
one thing at a time here. Let's go one thing at a time.
Let's just defer.
We're not deferring.
He's got to read the title first.
We're not deferring on anything.
Huh?
I'm getting my money's worth out of you, George, because this is the last time I get to harass you.
He's got
to
read the title.
Well, I mean, we do.
You ready?
No, I'm.
Well,
we can go with Grant's if you want.
No, when's you gonna vote on this or wait?
Well, we just go with Grant's, then come back when
he's writing something.
He's almost done.
Okay,
I'm almost done.
Hey, no problem. Like I said, I got in the sun. It's not come up.
Can I make a comment while he's writing?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Sam.
Well,
No. I'm sorry. Wait till next.
The problem, Sam, is that it's not that council doesn't respect what you say, but the public record's closed, and if
I
there was any
5-minute recess,
and we're trying to come up with provisions that would be less restrictive, so we don't have to open up the public record. If we do allow you to address, then we have to allow everybody to address, and we may have to go back to a new public hearing.
All favors signify.
Oh, guess what? We got a motion for a 5-minute recess.
Yeah.
Okay. All favors signify. Say aye.
Aye.
Okay. You can talk to anybody you want.